Our next speaker is someone who has spent over 10 years in the financial industry. He spent 10 years building expertise in financial management, helping people make better financial decisions. But beyond finance, he understands the true success also involves faith, family, and the kind of life we build with what we achieve. Ladies and gentlemen, this speaker is the parish pastor of ROCCG Noah's Ark Youth Church, a marriage counselor, a husband, and a father of two beautiful young girls and a handsome little boy. So he's not just coming to teach us about success. He's also coming from years of experience, practice, and leadership. Please join me as we make warm welcome, Pastor Victor Chukwu, ladies and gentlemen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Mr. John. Thank you very much, AY. And thank you very much to our guest speaker. Thank you, sir, for coming. We appreciate the honor you've shown to us. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Okay, can we pray? Please permit me to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We worship you for today. We yield our hearts to you. We ask that you would do something to our hearts. Change us from within and make us better in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you show us how. The hows. Answer questions. Answer questions that are leading the hearts of men and give us direction from these discussions in the name of Jesus. Even beyond what the speaker has prepared, we ask, oh God, that you would draw out more from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to welcome everyone again to this beautiful occasion. AY was talking, he spoke about the power of the room. The power of the room. It's funny that we are not many that has decided to, at least from what I'm seeing here, give this program the attention that it desires, because I expected we should be more than this, but it's not a problem. I recently attended a particular course in Lagos Business School. I think that was last 2 weeks or last 3 weeks. And honestly, I began to see why people pay millions and millions and millions of naira to attend such places. There are things you will never know until you are in a room. You will think you know, but trust me, there is a lot in life that you don't know. So I want to plead with us that we take such programs very seriously. It's very easy to stand from here. Of course, I do it a lot and declare favor and declare that you will prosper and declare those things. But listen, if you don't know, there is a limit, there is a cap to what you can do. No matter how much a beetle wants to run, because its capacity cannot handle certain things, it can't go that fast. And part of the ways to build capacity is knowledge, the mind. Pastor Matthew talked about the mind as well, the mind. So please, every time such program is called, let's take it very, very seriously. Okay, because we don't have so much time, I thought I should just throw that out there while I move straight to what I'm going to discuss with us. This morning, the topic before me is master yourself, increase your productivity, and maximize your potentials. Master yourself. Increase your productivity and maximize your potential. I want to try as much as possible to be right on time. So please, I'll beg you to be as fast as possible to catch me. And I'm trusting God that even if it's one or two things you learn, it would have changed your life. Amen. Amen. The greatest form of leadership is self-leadership. The greatest form of leadership is what? Self-leadership. Someone say self-leadership. John Maxwell said, I can't raise the bar of others if I haven't raised the bar for myself. I repeat, I can't raise the bar of others if I haven't raised the bar for myself. Part of the beauties of being someone who operates from the secular or the business angle and also operates in the priestly ministry is that I don't just stand here to declare things I know nothing about. I am in the marketplace, so I have an understanding. I have a clear grasp to what people who live day to day in their lives have to deal with. So it's easier to stand from here and just say things as a pastor until you go out there to actually soil your hands trying to make ends meet. Then you will appreciate what each person has to deal with. And one of the things I've noticed in life is that there are cost implications when people refuse to develop themselves or understand themselves. Part of the things my parents or my father taught me early was, son, know thyself. Know whose son you are. What is he trying to do? He's trying to call my attention to my identity. Because if I don't know who I am, you can as well become anything as you go around life. So it's not a coincidence that we've decided this morning to start with mastering yourself, self-mastery, and self-leadership. True productivity doesn't start with better to-do lists or time management apps like we have many of them. It starts with self-mastery. If you want to be productive, the first thing you will do is to understand yourself. As I said, this, the first thing that comes to mind is our lives as students. If you've gone through the university, you will notice that some of us, part of the reasons why for some of us, we made a very huge success out of school was because we understood this thing I'm teaching this morning very early. And I'll explain what I mean in clear terms. There are students who understand better when they read in the daytime, correct? Talk to me, correct? And there are students who understand better when they read at night. If you attempt to read at night, because everyone is going to read at night, you will come back frustrated. But if you attempt or if you decide to read at the time where you are most productive, you will excel. Part of the blessings God gave me was to understand this simple thing I just said now. I understand that this is a student environment, so that's why I can also talk to that. It is the same thing that applies in marriage, in life, at work, and in several other spheres of life. So as a student, I knew that I was more productive at night. So the moment I come back from my lectures, I quickly eat. The first thing I do is to sleep off. When you saw me those days, you would think this guy is unserious. You want to join me to sleep? I am already sleeping because I have plans for night. The moment it is 7 p.m., my eyes pops open. I brush my teeth, wash my face, or take my bath. I would pick my lantern back in the day, and I head to where I read. I could be like that from 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. to about 3 a.m. I am most active those seasons. And what are we covering in those hours? If you are not a night person, you will struggle. You won't get it. Praise the Lord. So the first thing to do is you must understand yourself. Before you can manage your time, you have to manage you. Before you manage your time, you have to manage you. Your habits, your energy, your attention, and your mindset, all these things must be managed. So within this context, I want to discuss developing high performance habits. Developing high performance habits. A wise man says, watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character because they shape your destiny. I repeat, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Then watch your character because it shapes your destiny. I've had colleagues in the past, even senior people, who had an issue with integrity. So in our small beginnings those days, this guy was one of my bosses. He will always give dot checks. He knows he doesn't have money. He will give those checks and was playing games. I don't know if you're in business and you do those kind of things. They're playing games. You give dot checks. Guess what? That was the same thing that kicked him out of the banking industry. Because for bankers, your checks cannot bounce. So he was playing those games. He left back in the day. He left Diamond Bank, went to another bank, and tried it. That was how he lost a glorious opportunity that people pray for. I'm saying that you must be careful about your habits because it will shape your character and ultimately shapes your destiny. What are some of the high-performance habits we should build? I'll quickly run through them. The high-performance habits we should build. Number one, clarity of purpose. Clarity of purpose. High performance know exactly what they want and why they want. If you have listened to me long enough, you will notice I always talk about your why. Why did you choose to attend Tribe Business Summit? What exactly are you looking for? Why are you here? Out of the lots. If you come here on Sunday, people will be, everywhere will be filled. Outside will also be filled. So why do we have this little number? You have to ask yourself, why am I here? Stop chasing things because everyone is chasing it. No, you must ask yourself, why? What is my why? When you do that, it will give you an idea and it will sustain you and motivate you when there is no motivation because your whys are compelling. Number two habits we should quickly learn is morning routines that prime your mind. Morning routines that prime your mind. What do you do every morning when you wake up? For many of you, you pick up your phones. For many people, they start scrolling through social media. The question to ask yourself, because this is, I'm not trying to preach to you. The question you ask yourself is, if I keep doing this, and in 10, 20 years, where will it get me? If you ask yourself that question, and you find out that it will not help you anywhere, then you will change those habits. Many start the day with a consistent ritual, maybe exercise, journaling, reading, or planning. That sets a deliberate tone before the day's demands take over. So those are just to suggest to you what you should do every morning. Number three is prioritization over busyness. Prioritization over busyness. They regularly ask, I'm talking about high performance, they regularly ask, what's the one thing that matters most today? Rather than trying to do everything, saying no becomes a core skill. I have had to mentor many young people in my career, and this is one of them. As simple as what I said is, as basic as it is, if you are a boss here, you will notice, depending on where you work, a lot of people are very busy and yet not achieving much. I talk to young people every day, sir, I'm doing a lot of things. And you will see this person sweating. I have a staff in my office. Once he comes in the morning, you will see him take his bag. Bam! You will run. You start running up and down, sweating. When he goes and comes, the boy is sweating. Then when you see the results, you're wondering, but why? How come the sweat is not translating to what? To performance, is what we are discussing. We must prioritize. Part of the things you must learn to do when you get to your business, when you get to your office, the first thing to do for me is to get out a little sheet and write out for that day, what do I want to achieve for today? Usually the first three are the most important. You're trying to bring those things that must happen today so that you can say that today was a good day. If you don't prioritize, everything will be urgent and important. We'll soon get to some things. Number four, consistent physical health habits. Of course, sleep, exercise, nutrition aren't optional extras, of course. I had a general medical checkup yesterday, and they were advising that I need to sleep more. I was laughing. I said, how much sleep can you really sleep? So as I'm talking to you, I'm also talking to myself. How much How much sleep is good enough? That's a conversation for another day. But please, as much as possible, even the God of the heavens rested. Many people feel guilty when they are resting. No, don't feel guilty. When you have walked, you should try to rest. Part of the things I try to do is I try to shut down. When I see that, to be honest, at times, the sicknesses many people deal with are not really sicknesses. It's just out of stress. So these are things you must check and ask yourself. What I'm dealing with, is it a matter of stress? Because I've not rested, so that you give yourself the required rest. Something happens when you rest well. You will notice that your mind functions well. Your mind is clear. When I sleep well, my mind is very clear. Consistent physical health habits. Number five, continuous learning. Continuous learning. Make sure you learn something every day. High performance read, study, and seek feedback relentlessly. Ladies and gentlemen, when you read, it gives you an opportunity to peep into the hearts of great men. If you want to be great and you want to be rich and you've not read any books on finance, you are just taking a stroll in the park. If you want to be successful, if it looks like anything, then you must peep into the lives of those who have done the same thing. Thinking it will suddenly happen is strolling and joking in the park and hoping to arrive somewhere you didn't plan to go to. Unfortunately, in our generation, we have lost the attitude or we have lost the habit of reading. I have not seen a great man who is not a continuous learner. They don't exist. There is no great man on earth who does not read. You are limited by the level of information you have. If you are going to be, that is why many business executives, that is why many executives spend so much money learning. Why? Because the quality of information you have determines the quality of your leadership. Number six, strong self-discipline rituals. Strong self-discipline rituals. What are the daily habits and routines that will shape in your life? What are the strong daily habits and routines that will shape in your life? There should be things in your life, whether you feel like it or not, you must do. Successful people understand that you don't succeed by feelings. It is not based on feelings. If you have put a structure of discipline in place, you know you must do this whether you feel like it or not. I have not seen anything worthwhile built on feelings. If they are not hard fasts, you must be hard on yourself for you to lead others and come to the place of success. Whether in ministry, whether in business, whether in career, no matter what you're doing, you must discipline yourself. Bishop Oyedepo said, the soul of an army is discipline. The soul of an army is discipline. If you remove discipline from an army, they can't succeed. They can't be an army. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Number seven is reflection and self-review. Reflection and self-review. Every great man has a diary. Every successful man has a diary. The reason why people can tell you in 1985, this and this happened is because they wrote it down. We need to call our generation back to the things that used to happen in the past for men who has gone ahead of us. They are men who write. Great men take notes. From time to time, you must sit down to ask yourself, I do it even in marriage. I'll ask my wife, tell me the things we need to correct. What are the top five things you love about me? What are the top five things we need to correct? What are the things we need to change? We write it down, we journal. As the year ends, I take a journal as well. What have I achieved? You compare it with the goals you set in the beginning of the year to be sure where you are. That way you see that you are making progress and it helps your mind to achieve even greater things. So reflection and self-review, very, very important. Journaling, weekly reviews, or simple check-ins help you course correct quickly instead of repeating the same mistakes. When you journal, you will notice you can correct yourself before anything goes wrong. Managing energy, number 8. Managing your energy, not just your time. Many people don't know that you don't just manage time, you must manage your energy. They notice when they are mentally sharp versus drained and structure their day around energy levels. High performers know the right. For me, in my office, there are decisions I don't take after 2 p.m. If you bring certain things to myself, let's leave it till tomorrow. You know why? I am already mentally drained. If I go into those things, I'll make mistakes. There are times, there are tasks I have to do. I will leave it for when I feel alive. And usually, it's usually in the mornings, before 12 noon. From 8 a.m. to 12 noon, from 6 a.m. to 12 noon, I'm usually alive. So I prefer to do those things that time. Because I know that at that time, I am more alive and more active. And I leave those things that are more routine to the later part of the day. So you must ask yourself, when am I most active, so that you're fixing your schedules for those seasons. Number 10, intentional rest. I won't waste my time on this. I've talked about it before. Rest, rest, rest. Mastering, the next thing I want to discuss is mastering time and energy management. Remember, we are discussing how to master yourself. Mastering time and energy management. Our father in the Lord, Pastor E. Adeboye, said one of those occasions, he says, time is life. And so I added, time is life. Therefore, time wasted is life wasted. Time is life. Therefore, time wasted is life wasted. The reason why you come into school in year one and keep playing, you don't even know how to calculate your GP until you get to 300 level, 400 level, when you are now close to exit. That is when many students wake up. Every student you see doing well in school started from day one. Go and check them. Everyone you see at work doing well had a plan from when they started working. They know when they want to exit the organization. They know where they want to be. And so they are using, they are pacing themselves with their goals. You see great athletes. Great athletes, they pace themselves. They have a plan. We are going to do a marathon. They don't start from the beginning to start running. They know that you need to conserve energy for the final lap. Time is life. Therefore, time wasted is life wasted. Most people manage time. High performers manage time and energy together. Because having hours available means nothing if you are too drained to use them well. Managing time. Quickly, I want to quickly share with us, how do you manage time? 1, audit before you optimize. That means audit your schedules, audit your activities, and check them how useful they are before you do any optimization. Before changing anything, track how you actually spend your time for 3 to 7 days. Please, let's celebrate our PICP's wife. Please celebrate her. Pastor Titi, welcome, ma. Thank you very much, ma. Okay, before changing anything, you track how you actually spend your time for 3 to 7 days. Most people are surprised by the gap between how they think they spend time and the reality. At times, ask yourself serious questions. How do I spend my day? Do a tracking. Just do that tracking. You'll be surprised the things you will find. Many times, I discovered these days, people spend more time on social media than they even think. Told myself, I will try not to do more than 1 hour. If you are not careful, if you are not tracking, you'll be shocked what you do. So audit before you optimize. So check yourself and know how you spend your time. Number 2, prioritize with a framework. There is a framework. Okay, my slides are not here. Okay. There is a framework that is called Eisenhower Matrix. Use a simple filter like this. Number one, urgent plus important, then do them now. When the task is urgent and it's important, then you do them now. If the task is important but not urgent, you do them where you schedule them. When the task is urgent but not important, you delegate to others. And when they are neither urgent nor important, you eliminate. There are many friends you need to eliminate in your life if you want to go far. Number three, time block your calendar. For those who work, you know what I mean by time blocking. Between certain hours, for instance, from 8 a.m. to maybe 12 noon, if you are the boss and you have the time, you can do that. As against for some of us that have to do certain things because you report to someone, as much as possible, time block your calendar online. If you use a Teams app, time block them so nobody can get you within those times. Time blocking can even mean turning off your phones or putting them on silent between those hours so that you are most effective. Number four, batch similar tasks. When you want to check an email or mails from your subordinates, tell yourself from this time to this time, I will check all my mails. So you go through your mail so that you are not just checking every time. When you check, you come back. No, you plan yourself to check mails or check whatever you want to check in a certain time and do all similar tasks together. That way you are more productive. Number five is protect deep work time. I think I've said that already, talking about how you are able to maximize those times when you are most active so that you don't waste it on unproductive things. And number six, building buffer time. That means in between tasks, try to just rest, get breaks, and leave gaps between task meetings to absorb overruns and mental reset time. So when you have to change from this task to another task, you want to have 15 minutes to catch your breath, maybe wash your face or do something to make you more active when you go into the next task. Okay, so let's quickly go into part two of this, managing energy. Managing energy. I've said a lot of already. Number one, know your energy rhythm. Know your energy. Know the best time where you are stronger. I said it earlier. As a student, my best times or most productive times were at night. So I spend more time at night doing things because I know I understand better. I assimilate faster in those days. As against doing everything in the day because everyone wants to do. Some of my friends will say, let's go to the library. If I go to the library and see that, I will not achieve anything. To be a waste of my time. So I rather borrow the book, go to my house, settle at night, and read. That way, I am more productive. So you know your energy rhythm. As you work in your business, know your energy. Most people have a predictable daily energy curve. You know when you are very strong, when you are most active, and do those serious works in those times. Number two, treat sleep as non-negotiable. Treat sleep. Every time I talk about sleep, I'm just asking God to help us. I don't know how much sleep God will help us to achieve. But as you grow in life, when we are much younger, our parents used to beg us to sleep. These days, when we see time to sleep, we give thanks. God will help us. So please, treat sleep as non-negotiable. But no matter how busy you are, find time to sleep. If you don't sleep, you will die at some point. And when you die, you will discover that the world will move on without you. It's a rude shock. That office where you think, I can't live if I live. No. I've seen colleagues die in my work. I've seen colleagues die, and I've seen how fast they replace them. I don't want to remind you of what's his name now, the Access Bank MD, Herbert. I've told us here several times. He died on Friday. And I was hoping that on Monday they will wait first and say, let's, you know, the way they did for Maradona, 10, you keep the position for at least maybe 1 year so that we'll honor our great Herbert. But I was shocked on Monday we had a new chairman. That should give you wisdom. I don't know if you have got it to Herbert's level, but if that happened to him, that should give you sense. Do you understand what I mean? So I mean, create time to rest. God has helped us in Jesus' name. Number three, use movement as a reset tool. Yes. So at some point in my office, when you walk and walk and walk, at some point, you stand up make those movements, go out, just things to make your body reset as against, what's it called, living a sedentary lifestyle, which is not also very healthy for us. So use movement as a reset tool for eat for stable energy. So I told us, I gave us an example back in the day, because I love the nights very well to read. I also learned something. You don't say, I'll read at night and you're eating at by 6 p.m. My brother, when you go to read, you'll be sleep all through. I'm also talking from experience. What I'm saying is, since you know that nights are more productive, then I schedule what I eat. As a student, I used to live like an athlete. Even today at work, because I'm very also work, I do better early in the morning between 8 to 12, 1. I don't eat until maybe afternoon. People will tell me it's not so healthy, but I'm telling you, my wife said when we get married that she's going to correct it. Up to today, she has not succeeded. I don't eat that early. I can't be eating that early. Do you get what I'm saying? So if I'm going to eat, just light it so that, because there are some things you will eat before you know it. You can't. I see colleagues eating solid. I'm wondering, how do you cope? I can't cope. If I do it, then the whole day I'll be feeling heavy. So you must also check yourself. If it happens to you, then you reduce your intake of food depending on what, how you can handle that. Then, of course, even fasting for us as Christians, it helps as well to make you very mentally sharp. Okay, I also said here, take number 5, take real breaks, not fake ones. Many of you say you are taking breaks. Meanwhile, you are scrolling to your phone. You are doing social media. That's not breaks. If you want to take a break, drop your phone, walk around. For me, what I do, I drop my phone, walk around, greet colleagues, just see people for now 15 minutes to declutter your mind. It also helps you become more productive. Number 6, match task type to energy level. I've said it already. I don't want to keep going over it. Okay, I would skip balancing corporate career with entrepreneurship. Let me quickly skip it for want of time. Let me go straight down to what I want to discuss again. Just a minute. There's something I feel like I need to talk about before leaving here. Okay. Eliminating distractions and increasing productivity. Eliminating distractions and increasing productivity. Yeah, here are some practical strategies for cutting distractions and boosting your productivity at work. Number 1, manage your environments. Manage your environments. Turn off non-essential notifications on your phones and computers. For me, I had to hibernate notifications for emails and all that because it distracts me. So create the right environment for your productivity. If you need to remove headphones, at times take out your phone so that you can condition your environment to do well. Please, it's important you do that. Number 2, structure your time. And one of the ways to structure your time is to prioritize. Prioritize, have a to-do list. That's what I teach my people. Have a to-do list. Please don't go start a day without having a to-do list. At work or your business, you will miss out on a lot of things. Have a personal to-do list because it gives you structure. Then manage the task list itself. Start the day by identifying 1 to 3 must-do priorities. Not just a long list. Don't just write to-do, plenty list, and yet you don't get anything achieved. Put those ones that are must-do in 1 to 3 so that you can easily deal with them before you are fatigued. Number 4, manage meetings and interruptions. Manage meetings and interruptions. Many of us in corporate life, we know what I'm talking about. At times, you plan your day and certain meetings, you are drawn into them, even if you don't want to attend. Why? Because that is what the work entails. But there are some you can actually ask yourself, especially where as you grow, you can ask yourself, do I need to have this meeting? Must I be there physically? These days where, what's it called? Technology helps us. There are meetings you don't need to travel far to attend. You can actually do online. Can we meet this client online as against going there physically? Those things also help to manage and to make you more productive. Then number five, take care of the basics and all that. Finally, I want to discuss building consistency for long-term success. This is something I cannot miss out. Building consistency for long-term success. Listen to this. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives. It's what we do consistently. Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins said, it's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives. It's what we do consistently. So how do we build consistency for long-term success? I'll run through them quickly. One, start smaller than feels necessary. Start smaller than feels necessary. Many of us have plans to write books. You've been planning, I'm going to write this thing. I'll write it. One day I'll write it. No. You can tell yourself, I will just write maybe one page. Maybe I will write for 5 minutes. As against, I will spend a weekend to write the book. No. Most times, you may never have that weekend. There was something my wife and I did far back in 2023 that really helped our ministry. And we've tried since that time to achieve it again because it took us 3 days, a weekend. We couldn't achieve it. Why? When you are waiting for when you have the time, you may never have the time. So we start smaller than feels necessary. Just little bits here and there will make it work. Number two, anchor habits to existing routines. That means you can attach new behaviors to something you already do consistently. For instance, after I pour my morning coffee, I will review my top 3 priorities. Exactly. After I greet my colleagues in the office, I will do what? I will write my priorities. So if you anchor those habits to existing routines, it will make you more productive. Number three, design your environment for the behaviors you want. Make good choices easy and very visible. You tell yourself, I will go to the gym. Then arrange your gym clothes on Fridays. Bring them out. Keep them where you can see them. You said you must read books. Scatter the books around you on your bed. Keep it somewhere you can easily pick it at night before you sleep. At least for me, that's what I do. I keep those things close to me so that once I lay down, I can just stretch my hand and pick it up. That way, you can achieve more. You can build habits, build consistency that will make you succeed in the long run. Three, design your environment. Okay, I've said it, for the behavior you want. Four, track progress visibly. That means you can have a habit tracker, checklist, or calendar. Things that will create a visual record that you see. So that as I make progress, I note it somewhere. I tick a calendar. That way you feel like you are making progress, and it also helps your mind. Number five, plan for failure in advance. Why you want to be consistent? The truth is that in the real world, at times, people can fail here and there. So you don't beat yourself. When you fail to do this, you didn't read today. Come back tomorrow to do it. Tell yourself, once it's okay. But when it gets to twice, then that's where you become worried. Yeah. Review and adjust periodically, exactly. So as you've made your plans to do things consistently, from time to time, review how well you're doing and see where you can adjust and iterate from time to time. Because in the end, you are not robots, you are humans. So you can sleep, but don't beat yourself too badly. Pick up yourself and make the necessary moves you need to make. Number seven, connect the habit to identity, not just outcomes. Yes, what do I mean here? Connect the habit to identity, not just outcomes. You can tell yourself, for instance, I am someone who writes, as against I will write a book. I am someone, because every day you've told yourself, I must write or I must read. I must, for instance, in my own case, I must call at least 10 customers every day. So I make up my mind that I'm someone who reaches, I'm excellent in customer service, and I must reach out to my customers at least 10 every day. That way, you connect it to your identity. It makes you want to always meet up. And finally, build in accountability. I'll be stopping here. build in accountability. If you want to be consistent and you want it to bring you or drive you towards success, you must have a system of accountability around you. You can't go alone. A wise man says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, do what? Go with people. Please, you can't do it alone. You can't. You must have, and that is one thing I've tried to do all my life. I always have people I submit to. In my marriage, in my career, when as I'm venturing into a business, people that will keep speaking to you, people that will ask you, where are you? What are you doing? What is happening here? You need to be accountable to someone. So how do you do that? Tell someone your goal, join a group, use a habit tracking app with social features. Listen, I have my MBA today because I did it with people. At some point, I got tired. The stress was too much. I said, are you sure this stress is worth it? But when I saw my other guys, I said, no, I will not fail. All of us, guess what? We completed that task. And today, I bless God. It happened 7 years ago. Many of my senior colleagues are still trying to do MBA today. Why? They are busy doing many things. They forgot. But because I had people around me who were traveling together, it wasn't easy. Mine was at Ife. Imagine going to every weekend, traveling to Ife to do masters. It was not easy. But because we had people, and that was when we had bearing children, we had people around us who monitored. That was how we were able to go through it. In conclusion, Proverbs 16 verse 32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than a mighty warrior. And he who rules his spirit greater than who captures a city. I said here, if you can lead yourself today, then you will definitely lead others tomorrow. Thank you very much.